This is the first of the month. You got to listen to me again. We've been having quite a few sermons that deal with our faith here recently. We've had a sermon fairly recently. I believe it's might have been the first part of last month, talking about an unshakable faith, a faith that will not move, a faith that is unwavering. And Josh, I believe, presented us a lesson on what we do if our faith does move, if it is shaken, if we do fail. This morning, I kind of want to touch on another aspect in the same area there. You know, we're commanded to be steadfast, unmovable in our faith. Unshakable. But the question I want to answer this morning and I also ask is why? To what purpose? Why should we be unshakable, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? What is the purpose? And as Justin has read for us this morning in Colossians, the first chapter there, it kind of expands on that idea that I want to present this morning a little bit. It said, "And you who were once alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If, indeed, you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. God is going to save us. God is going to perfect us. He will create us, create in us something that is beautiful. As the song we sang before the lesson, if we'll let Him have His way, He will help us out. He will mold us just like the potter molds the clay. But we've got to let Him. We've got to stay steadfast, unmoved, and in His will. We have to be grounded in that faith. So, the key of a salvation of ourselves, and also, as we'll see later on, it can also affect the salvation of others. The key to that is that steadfast faith, holding firm, not moving. Because God is trying to work in us something that is amazing. And also because we are trying to be as much like Him as possible. And He does not change. He does not move. Turn with me to Malachi, the third chapter. That'll be our first idea we want to think about. God is an unchanging, unmoving God. Malachi, the third chapter, in verse 6. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." God is the same forever. He doesn't move from His position on something that He delivers to us. He doesn't change in His will for us. He is the same. Turn with me to Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. It says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Or has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good?" God does not conduct Himself in a manner like a human being. He is completely and totally different. As we all know from experience, human beings change. Human beings lie. Human beings break their promises. God does not. Turn with me to Psalms 102. Psalms 102 and verse 25. It says in Psalms chapter 102 verse 25, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you." God is something that is a permanent. He is a constant. The earth can be destroyed. The things on this earth can be changed, can be wiped away. But God will be the same forever. And there's many, many verses concerning this. These are just a few I wanted to point out. And also, another aspect of God, the same idea here, Jesus, our Lord, also is another reason why we should be unmoved and unchanging as He is. He is also unmoving, unchanging. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We just got done discussing this last Sunday. Hebrews 13 and beginning in verse 8. It says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." You know, and because of that, it says, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with Him, with them." Jesus does not change. Thus, we must be stable, unmoving in our beliefs and in our actions, just as He is. Revelations, the first chapter, also states this. Revelations chapter 1 and in verse 8. It says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." This applies to God. This applies to Jesus. This idea that they are forever. They always have been and they always will be. And they do not change what they want from us. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. Because He is forever, because He does not change, He can do something for us that no one else can. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, "But He continues forever. He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." We have a high priest. We have a Savior who is always seeking to save us, who is always seeking to serve us and to offer up His love and His sacrifice for us, to bring us to God. And that is something that we must take into consideration as we live, as we conduct ourselves. We must strive to be like God. We must strive to be like Jesus. And we must not put to shame or make light of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. Also, they have given us an unmovable, unchanging gospel to guide our lives with, to conform ourselves to. Turn with me to Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. It says there, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so now say I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Now, this is something that has been delivered and it does not change. It does not turn into something else. It doesn't alter to fit our needs. It doesn't change to fit our environment. The gospel has been delivered to us once and for all times, and it will not be changing, and it will not be delivered again. Turn with me to John, the 12th chapter. John 12. And in verse 47, Jesus makes a statement that is essential to our faith. It says there, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." God has given us this word so that we might have an everlasting life. But if we refuse to listen to it, it will judge us. It was delivered thousands, hundreds of years ago, and it's still the same today. And it will not change. The same word, however many years it is till the judgment day, will be the one that judges those Christians in that day. And it will judge us as well. Also, one more verse. 1 Peter chapter 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. If I can get my fingers to flip here for me. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. It will last until the end of time, until God decides to come again." And that is something, all these three things that are unmovable and unchangeable, God and Jesus and the word that He has given us, are something that should compel us to remain faithful, unmoving in our actions, in our service. And also, this last verse brings me to my final point. The souls of those around us, the souls of men, they see us and they depend on us and our unmovingness and our unshakingness and our clinging to the Word of God. They see us and they look to us as examples. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 5 beginning, says, "And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end." Now, we see Moses and his example. We see Christ and his example. And we must carry that on. We must hold fast and be that house that Christ is building. You know, can you imagine? As it's described there in, I believe it's 1 Peter. I think I skipped over my verse there. Pull it back up here. Oh, it's Ephesians chapter 2. That's where it is. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 19, it says, "Now therefore," Ephesians 2 verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Can you imagine the temple of God? This is what we are spiritually. We Would you, can you just you picture it in your mind, the temple of God over in Israel? What would happen if one of the stones just popped out of the wall? It grew legs and walked off. Or if it was so weak, it crumbled and just fell out of its place. You know, if you can picture that in your head, that is what we are spiritually. We are the temple of God. We are those stones that make up that spiritual building. And if we are not stable, if we are not steadfast, if we are not going to remain in our place, we are not good building materials. And we will be replaced and removed. We do not serve our purpose. And we will mislead those that are using us as guides. It says there in Colossians chapter 2. You'll have to bear with me this morning. I'm getting my stuff backwards. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6. We must remain in that state that when we were recruited, when we were received Christ Jesus there. It says in chapter 2, verse 6 of Colossians, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." You know, we have to hold fast in order to resist those things that can be putting pressure on us and to be good examples to those around us. It says in verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Now, we have to resist those things. We have to stand as lights to the world. We have to remember that our labor, our spreading the gospel, our standing for Christ is something that will have its reward. And it is never in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, this is something that we need to keep in mind, no matter how hard it gets. Our labors, our striving, our holding fast is something that will give us our final victory in the end. You know, this verse here, he says, "Therefore," has given us the reason for why we should do this in the previous verses. The reason for that, therefore, it says there in, let me find the verse there, I'm skipping over it. And verse 57 and 56 is, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God, if we will hold fast, as Philip has talked about before, if we will overcome this world, if we will remain steadfast, not only can we receive the victory, can we receive eternal life, we can help those around us to receive it as well. So to my conclusion, we need to remember to hold fast, to remain unshaken in our faith, because we have an unshakable, unmovable God. Because we have a Lord that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who seeks to save us, who seeks to serve us in anything we need help with. And we have an unchanging plan, an unchanging gospel, that track, I guess you say the road that we would follow. And we have to remember that the souls of those around us, not only our own, depend on that unshakable unmovingness that we have to build in ourselves. So if there is anyone here who would like to repent of a sin, maybe you've let yourself be shaken. Maybe your position has moved in your faith. If that's the case, God will take you back. He will forgive you, as Josh has so amply put for us last Sunday. You can be restored. You can get back up. You can seek God out again. Or if there's anyone here who would like to become a Christian, a child of God, who would like to begin that being planted as a tree unmoving, bearing fruit for God. That can be found in Psalms chapter 1. But if that's the case, if either is the case, if you would come forward while we're led in our closing song, we'll do our best to assist you.